First of all, we're very happy to have with us this evening Nicholas Scheer, our young, holy-looking seminarian behind me. Of course, he's the brother of our own Father Scheer. So Nicholas is in his second year of seminary up at St. Charles in Philadelphia, where two other great priests I know have attended. And hopefully, in 4 years, he'll be ordained a priest. So please keep him in your prayers. It's always interesting what news item might surface during Christmas time. Well, on Friday, December 20th, I was looking through the Washington Times, and the front page article was Duck Dynasty Star Sparks Culture War. How interesting. Now, I never really heard much about Duck Dynasty. Actually, 2 weeks ago, I came home to the rectory, and our good Father Scheer was there watching television, and I asked him, "What are you watching?" And he said, "Duck Dynasty. All the kids know about it." So I sat down and I thought, these are really weird-looking people here, sort of like out of the hippie land kind of thing when I was a kid. But nevertheless, the patriarch named Phil Robertson made the news because he had given an interview for GQ magazine, and he said the following. Now, we have to keep in mind that Phil Robertson at one time had struggled with alcohol, drugs, other problems, and went through a real conversion and really found Christ as his Lord and Savior. So in that interview, he was just paraphrasing St. Paul, responding to a question, and he said, quote, "Don't be deceived, neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself, it's not right." He also went on to say, "My mission today is to go forth and tell people about why I follow Christ and also what the Bible teaches. And part of that teaching is that men and women are meant to be together. However, I would never treat anyone with disrespect just because they are different from me. We are all created by the Almighty, and like Him, I love all of humanity. We would all be better off if we loved God and loved each other." Well, GLAAD, which stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, threw a fit, and A&E suspended Phil Robertson from this program. It's always interesting how this very small minority has taken control of what is tolerance in our society. What happened to freedom of speech or freedom of religion? And then, too, isn't it always interesting when those, no matter what time in history, want to deviate from God's truth and goodness, always pervert language, taking a word like glad or gay and twisting it around? Well, so be it. Well, so much for freedom of speech and freedom of religion. But given his family, they said, "We are disappointed that Phil has been placed on hiatus for expressing his faith, which is his constitutionally protected right. We have had a successful working relationship with A&E, but as a family, we cannot imagine the show going forward without our patriarch at the helm." Now, over 1 million people so far have responded via the websites to support Phil and his family. But I bring this up because here we have a key teaching about family. Here we have a Christian family. So this is a God-centered, Christ-centered family. They clearly know their roles, and they stick together. Isn't that an important lesson for all of us? Consider our passages from sacred scripture. On this Feast of the Holy Family, we recall how, in God's plan, our Savior Jesus Christ entered this world in the context of a family. Granted, Joseph was his foster father, and Mary had conceived by the Holy Spirit, but here we have family. And we have marriage. We also see, though, that they have their struggles. There's always those outside forces that want to destroy what is good and of God. So we hear, sadly, how King Herod wants to destroy baby Jesus. Think of it. One king, paranoid, wanting power, seeks to destroy the Messiah who came to save everyone. Think, too, of St. Paul's time. Now, the second passage sometimes causes people to itch a little bit. But think of the role, or think of the society St. Paul lived in. He's writing about the year 50 to the Corinthians, a small Christian community in Corinth, surrounded by this pagan Roman Empire society. Well, at that time, in the Roman Empire, they had abortion, contraception, infanticide, prostitution, including child prostitution, not uncommon. The patriarch, so the husband and father, was in control. He could beat his wife. He could divorce his wife. He could sell his children into slavery. Keep that in mind, teenagers. He could sell his children into slavery. He could also decide who would live. When a baby was born, that baby was placed at the feet of the father. If he bent down, picked up the child became a Roman citizen. If he turned away for whatever reason, the child was destroyed. So St. Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, is in that society, and he's telling the Corinthians, you're different. You live a Christ-centered marriage, a Christ-centered family. You know your roles, and you live together, stick together with virtue. We'll take it to our own day and age. We still see this, these attacks from the outside trying to distort what family is. There are those that would like to redefine marriage and family. Well, if you redefine words, when does it stop? There are those that speak about reproductive freedom, legitimizing things like contraception, abortion, infanticide, and so on. There are those now that push for euthanasia because why should we care for the disabled and the elderly? And their excuse is, well, if they could choose, they would want this to happen. Those are the forces of evil. But on this Holy Family Sunday, you and I are called once again to commit ourselves to what is true family, true marriage. Even Pope Francis, who seems to be sort of beloved by the media for some reason, wrote in his recent exhortation, "The family is experiencing a profound cultural crisis, as are all communities and social bonds. In the case of the family, the weakening of these bonds is particularly serious because the family is the fundamental cell of society, where we learn to live with others despite our differences and to belong to one another. It is also the place where parents pass on the faith to their children. Marriage now tends to be viewed as a form of mere emotional satisfaction that can be constructed in any way or modified at will. But the indispensable contribution of marriage to society transcends the feelings and momentary needs of the couple." So I guess Pope Francis will never be invited on A&E. But with that in mind, what do we take from this? We affirm that God has a plan, and God and Christ is the center of our marriage and family life. So with that, when we think of the family, strong families depend upon strong marriages. We need good Christian marriages. Here, we believe, and it's very reasonable, God made man and woman in His image and likeness. They're different, but both made in His image and likeness. They complement each other in marriage. Man and woman, husband and wife, come together. They form that bond of permanent, life-giving, self-giving, exclusive, faithful love. That love overflows, God willing, to the creation of children. But nevertheless, husband and wife are meant to be bound, to fulfill each other in this union of marriage. They should see the goodness of each other. Different roles, husband and wife, mom and dad, but still working together. And that's why St. Paul says, husbands, and keep in mind the Roman society he's living in, husbands, love your wives, wives, submit to your husbands. But what he's saying is, husbands and wives, give of yourselves, because the love there is self-sacrificing love. Husbands and wives, bend your wills. You can't have it always your way. It's my way. I have to do my thing, my agenda. No. You give of yourselves to what is good in the eyes of God. Good for your family. Good for your marriage. Think of Mary and Joseph. Did not Saint Joseph cherish our Blessed Mother and the role she was called to play? But on the other hand, didn't our Blessed Mother respect Saint Joseph as her husband, the foster father, the guardian, the protector, the provider? Absolutely. But take it to that next step. From that foundation is built a family. And the scriptures today are very clear. Mom and dad, you're in charge. You're called to be mom and dad, not friend, not buddy, mom and dad. And scripture is very clear that you're called to teach your children, to guide them, discipline them, set the standards, not just provide for them, to raise them, not grow them, but to raise them. That's the role of parents, how important that is. But for a family to be strong, it has to be that Christ-centered family. Christ has to be made present in your lives. And this comes through daily prayer, together as a family, whether grace at meals or it's bedtime prayers with the kids, through religious education, not just at a school or a program, but in the home. It comes also by sharing life together, by sharing a meal, preparing that meal, cleaning up, doing chores together, having fun activities together, a board game, an outing, whatever it may be. But this is how those virtues are learned that St. Paul speaks of, virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. This is how those virtues are learned. It's in the context of the family. I fear one of the great problems today is that so many of our families are like boarding homes, meaning everyone does his own thing. I have my own room, my own cell phone, my own television, my own friends, my own activities. Where's the family? Families need to be together. Also, parents, just like Mary and Joseph were on guard against King Herod, you need to be also. Who's the King Herod that might be trying to destroy the soul of your child? It could be friends. It could be other neighbors. Could be teachers in a school. You never know. You always have to be on guard. But this is critical because kids need to know they have a mom and a dad who is a mom and a dad, not a buddy, not just a friend. It always amazes me when I hear a parent come in and just is distraught because the child says, I refuse to go to Mass. I'll tell you right now, if I said, I refuse to go to Mass, my parents would say, well, you don't get to eat, you don't get to have clean clothes, and you can go find somewhere else to live. Or when a parent says, my child swears at me or hits me. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can tell you right now, if I ever would have used bad language at my parents or even thought of hitting them, the hand of justice would have struck. Literally. I'm serious. I never would have thought of it. But what's the problem? Something went wrong in the very beginning. The very beginning when the kids were little. So my brothers and sisters, those of you who are parents, truly have a sacred duty, just like Mary and Joseph. And for you kids, you need to listen to your parents. Granted, when I was growing up, there are times when I said, you know, why do I have to do this? Everyone else gets to do it, or doesn't have to do it, or why do I have to do this because no one else has to do it, and so on. I trusted my parents, and I look back, and I know they loved me, and thank God they raised me the way they did. They weren't perfect, but thank God we had a Christ-filled home. And they struggled to live their marriage. And one last point, never forget your elderly grandparents. Oh, how easily we forget the old folks today in our world. I've been next door to Falcon's Landing, and some of those poor people say, no one ever visits me. Yes, I have kids, but oh, they're so busy. They excuse it. How sad that is. Make sure, if you have grandparents, you take care of them. You invite them over. You call them. Even daily, call them. And for you who are teenagers, older kids, you ought to be helping your grandparents, taking them to the store, cleaning the home, doing the yard work. It's all part of a family. So my brothers and sisters, we learn a great lesson here. And in a way, it's a symbol of the Trinity when we think of it. Just like the Trinity is symbolized by that equilateral triangle, three distinct divine persons, eternal, sharing the divine nature. Well, we have a mom and we have a dad, we have the kids, but what binds them together right in the center that radiates out? God's love. God's love shown to us through our Savior. Mary and Joseph knew this, and I pray that during this Christmas time, you all will pause to consider, looking to their example, how you all can make your family a stronger, more holy family. We need that in our world today. We need that if our country is going to survive. May God bless you.